The conceptual artist Kenneth Goldsmith teaches at the University of Pennsylvania. He invented a course called Uncreative Writing, and he's recently been teaching a class called Wasting Time on the Internet. Now, I have two kids in college, and I'm pretty sure that I speak for a lot of parents when I say that wasting time on the Internet is not what I hoped they would study in school. So when Goldsmith first introduced this course, it almost broke the Internet. The general response was shock, dismay, and curiosity. So now he's turned the course into a book, and Doug Gordon sat down with him to find out more.
You've been teaching a course at the University of Pennsylvania called Wasting Time on the Internet. What inspired you to create this course?
I had sort of been hearing that we've been wasting time on the Internet, and I was finding that kind of to be true and also kind of not to be true. And I wanted to kind of run an experimental course to see if, in fact, wasting time on the Internet was wasting time on the Internet truly. So I gathered 15 students. The waiting list was quite long for this class. There was a lot of attention, media attention, paid to the class before it started.
Yeah.
For a semester, basically, we just sat around a round table and wasted time together on the Internet for 3 hours a week.
Can you give me a few examples of how you all wasted time on the Internet?
The class became an incubator, an idea generator for ways that people together could waste time on the Internet. Now, that's important. Normally, when we waste time on the Internet, we waste time alone, and it feels alienating in some way. But when you put people together, mediated by machines, we found that those machines amplified emotion, amplified affect, actually made us more physical, more aware of our bodies in the space together.
Hmm. Can you give me an example, a specific example of this?
There were times in which somebody would say something, look what I found on the web, and suddenly everybody would go there, and the affect would ripple across the room, the emotion, and the responses would sort of be like, but wait, look at this. Let's do this. And suddenly 1,000 ideas become generated from just one person saying something about something they're seeing on a screen to everyone else in the room.
Hmm.
And those ideas, in the back of the book, the class had compiled a list of 101 ways to waste time on the Internet.
Yeah.
It's a listicle. And there are all sorts of things. They generated thousands of ideas. Not all of them were good.
Hmm.
But 101 of them are pretty good.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite or two among those 101?
One comes to mind. Post something on Instagram that violates the rules that will be taken down. Screen cap that. And when it's taken down, post the screen cap. And before that screen cap is taken down, post that screen cap and repost it until, of course, the image becomes blurred beyond recognition.
What do you think doing that accomplished for the students who did that?
I think that I would like to say that the class became like meat space social media. In other words, social media is predicated pretty much upon the way that we interact in real life, as I think much of the web is. And this class just sort of reified those notions that, in fact, technology can draw us closer together rather than the kind of typical notion that it is separating us somehow.
Mm-hmm. Kind of going against the Sherry Turkle thing, the alone together, that you can develop this collaboration and this interaction when you have a bunch of people in this sort of setting anyway and with their devices.
I mean, I get what Turkle's trying to get at, but I just don't think it's true. I think we know how to converse. I mean, as a matter of fact, we're doing both. All we're doing is conversing and communicating across these devices. I mean, they're conversational devices, even though mediated by conversation, like the telephone was. Now, are you going to tell me that a telephone call 140 years after it was invented is somehow not communicative?
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, I think that face-to-face conversation happens abundantly and ubiquitously all around us all the time. So I actually don't think it's one way or the other. I think we're conversing face-to-face, and I think we're conversing mediated by technology. It's too simple.
Yeah. You've taught the course, the Wasting Time on the Internet course, what, 3 times, 4 times? Maybe more than that now.
No, actually, I'm running it now for the 2nd time.
So the first class, what do you think your students learned from taking that course?
It's kind of hard to say. My teaching and my pedagogy go sideways.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not anti-goal-oriented, but it's not particularly goal-oriented. What it was experiential. To me, it had all the hallmarks of what a great liberal arts education should be. Opening yourself up to experiences that you've never had before, ideas that you've never had before in a social situation that was structured by a lot of theory and critical reading about what we were doing.
Mm-hmm. We are living in this attention economy now. We have been for some time where we have all these different companies and different media competing for our attention. And attention's become even more of this precious commodity with the advent of the internet. Conventional wisdom says that the internet's a distraction and a waste of our time. What do you think?
I think that we need to look at modernism to find out really what we are doing in the digital age. And if we begin to look at the fractured spaces of cubism, the accelerationism of futurism, the dream spaces of surrealism, the commodification of pop art, I think we can actually find the 21st century in those 20th century experiments.
This is part of your argument, correct me if I'm wrong, that what internet critics don't understand about the internet is that it's not monolithic.
Yeah, I kind of think that my generation, the TV generation, tends to look at the internet and say, that's television.
Yeah.
Rather the way that when I was watching television in the 1960s, my father would look at us sitting there in front of the TV. You know, he was raised on radio. He'd say, when I was a kid, I had to lay on my bed and imagine what was happening in my mind. And you kids have this laid out there for you. You're lazy. What are you going to grow up to be? And of course, it all worked out fine. I think that the web is not monolithic the way that television mostly was with 7 channels. When I was a kid, things were being fed to me. The notion of choice on the web makes it fractured and more interesting. It's a diverse experience that I think we've got to learn to embrace and understand and cherish. I mean, it's much better than television.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's contradictory. We get high and low culture. We get multiple diverse things all going on at the same time.
Yeah, and the kind of notion that there are a million windows open on the desktop, for example, some showing very dry things like spreadsheets and others showing very rich things like viral videos, all happening at the same time. And somehow we're able to process that shattered space. Nobody is confused by 16 windows open on their machine.
Yeah. You say that the internet puts us in this state between deep focus and subconscious flow. Can you explain a bit about that?
André Breton, the founder of Surrealism, was interested in dream space in the midst of waking life, the unconscious. And the web sort of seems to have a lot of that in play, the sort of software. And what's below the surface that you don't see is kind of the subconscious of the web. And things bubble up into windows, becoming consciousness. And there's this divide between presence and absence, both being in front of the screen in a divided space, but also the presence and absence of kind of being there and not being there. Let's say you're in a bar with a friend, and both of you have your phones out on the table, and suddenly somebody gets a text, and her eyes glance down onto that phone, and you know what's going to happen. She's going to pick it up, say, hold on just a second, and she's going to text, and then you're probably going to, at that moment, that interval, check your mail, and then the phones go back down. You continue that conversation between the two people. I mean, this is just the way it is. And one of the problems that I have is that everybody, well, I'm not going to say everybody, but many people want to return to a time of unification, of unified attention spans, go back to reading long novels. Now, the fact is, we read long novels. but we read them on our devices. I'm reading several long novels from the 19th century right now on my iPhone. It's okay. We do both.
Getting back to this idea of André Breton and the surrealist, this continual dream state, correct me if I'm wrong, that was the surrealist's greatest wish, was to exist in this continual dream state that the web, as you were talking about just a moment ago, kind of induces in us. What are the advantages of being in a continual dream state?
Well, first of all, I mean, we're not in a continual dream state, except for opium addicts. As Breton, and really very few of the surrealists were opium addicts. It was an ideal. It was a way of letting go of drive, of letting go of ambition, of being countercultural, of opening up free spaces, as Hakim Bey so famously called them, temporary autonomous zones. And I think that the web gives us a glimpse into those temporary autonomous zones, those places that are free from necessity, very much the way that art works.
In his 2010 book, The Shallows, Nicholas Carr says that, quote, the internet is an interruption system. It seizes our attention only to scramble it, end quote. Do you agree with that?
I love that quote. I think it's brilliant, and I'm all for seizing and scrambling and making things nonsensical.
So to borrow from the old A&E TV slogan, if I can go back to a previous technology to talk about a current technology, is time on the internet time well spent?
You can't say it is one thing or it's not. Sometimes it's ill spent.
Yeah.
Oftentimes it's ill spent. It's a mixture of both.
Kenneth Goldsmith is a conceptual artist and the author of Wasting Time on the Internet, the same name as the course he teaches at the University of Pennsylvania. He was talking with Doug Gordon.